sound healing frequencies, the ancient science behind 432 Hertz, solfeggio, and why your playlist is changing your brain. Every culture in human history used sound as medicine. Then we forgot. Now it's coming back. And the neuroscience behind why it works is more interesting than any of the mystical claims surrounding it. What the neuroscience actually says. Let me be honest with you before we go any further. A lot of what circulates online about sound healing is overclaimed. The specific numbers attached to specific outcomes are often backed by small studies, cherry-picked findings, or no research at all. I'm going to tell you what's genuinely well-supported and what's plausible but unproven, because I think you're better served by the real picture than by the more exciting one. What's well-established? Sound affects the nervous system. Full stop. Your autonomic nervous system responds directly to acoustic stimuli. Slow, low-frequency sounds activate the parasympathetic, rest and digest branch. Sharp, high-frequency, unpredictable sounds trigger the sympathetic, fight or flight branch. This isn't esoteric. It's basic neuroscience, and it explains why horror movies use discordant strings and lullabies use gentle thirds. What's well established? The brain synchronizes its electrical activity to rhythmic external stimuli, a phenomenon called entrainment. Play a rhythmic pulse at 10 Hertz and your brain waves shift toward 10 Hertz. This is why binaural beats work for some people, why drumming circles have been used in shamanic traditions globally, and why your heart rate literally slows when you listen to certain music. What's plausible, but less settled? Specific frequencies having specific therapeutic effects beyond general relaxation. The research on 40 Hertz gamma entrainment for cognitive function is genuinely interesting. MIT's work on it is worth reading. But a lot of the specific Hertz claims you'll see attached to specific healing outcomes are extrapolated well beyond what the data actually shows. The honest bottom line, sound unquestionably affects your physiology and psychology. The specific frequency numbers attached to specific outcomes are often overclaimed. The practice still works. Just hold the numbers loosely. 432 Hertz versus 440 Hertz. The tuning war explained. If you've spent any time in sound healing communities, you've encountered this debate. Standard modern tuning puts the musical note A4 at 440 Hertz. This was standardized internationally in 1939. A significant corner of the wellness world argues that 432 Hertz is the natural tuning, more aligned with the universe, more healing, more resonant with the human body. I went deep on this one because I produce music and I wanted to know if I should be using it. Here's what I found. The case for 432 Hertz leans on some genuinely interesting facts. It does appear in certain ancient instruments. It has a mathematical relationship to other natural numbers. And many people report that music tuned to it feels different, somehow warmer or more spacious. That subjective experience is real and worth taking seriously. The case against the specific claims is that much of the supporting science is numerology dressed up in physics language. The claim that 432 Hertz is the frequency of the universe is not a verifiable scientific statement. And the subjective sense that it sounds warmer is partly real. The slight down-tuning does change timbre, and partly expectation effect. People who believe it will sound different tend to hear it as different. My actual position: if 432 Hertz music feels better to you, listen to it. The subjective experience is real, even if the metaphysical claims aren't. Music that makes you feel more relaxed, more centered, more open. That's doing something real, regardless of what we call it. Don't let the debate stop you from using what works. The solfeggio frequencies, ancient or modern. The six solfeggio frequencies, 396, 417, 528, 639, 741, 852 Hz, are attributed to Gregorian chant with the claim that they were lost for centuries and rediscovered in the 1990s. Each is assigned a specific healing property. 528 Hz is the love frequency and purportedly repairs DNA. 396 Hz supposedly liberates guilt and fear. The history here is genuinely murky. The connection to Gregorian chant is tenuous at best. Scholars of medieval music don't recognize the specific claims. The DNA repair claim for 528 Hz is a single 2010 study that has not been replicated at scale and has been significantly overclaimed in popular culture. What is real? Certain frequencies in this range do interact with physiological processes. 528 Hz sits within a range that researchers have studied for its effects on cell cultures. Whether this translates to meaningful therapeutic effects in a person listening through speakers is a very different question. I use solfeggio frequency music in my own practice, not because I'm convinced the specific Hz numbers do exactly what the marketing says, but because the music itself, usually slow and layered and minimal, creates a mental environment that supports the kind of focus and calm I'm after. The frequency is a vehicle. The vehicle still gets you somewhere, even if its claimed magic properties are overstated. Tibetan singing bowls, the one that has real research. Of all the sound healing modalities that have become popular in the West, singing bowls have the most substantive body of research behind them, and also the longest uninterrupted tradition of documented use, which matters when you're trying to separate ancient wisdom from recently invented ancient wisdom. Tibetan bowls have been used in Buddhist practice for meditation and ritual for at least several centuries, and in Himalayan folk medicine for longer. The research on them is more interesting than I expected. Multiple studies have found measurable reductions in anxiety, heart rate, and blood pressure following singing bowl sessions. A 2016 study published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine found significant improvements in mood and reduction in tension after Tibetan bowl meditation. The mechanism appears to be multi-layered. The low-frequency vibration has a physical effect on the body. You can literally feel singing bowls in your chest if you're close enough. The sustained tones induce brainwave entrainment toward alpha and theta states, and the ritual context itself activates placebo-adjacent effects that are real physiological responses, not just psychology. Using AI to build your personal sound protocol. Here's where this gets practical. Most people encounter sound healing through a YouTube search and end up listening to a generic 528 Hz for healing track with no sense of whether it's actually doing anything, what they should notice, or how to build it into something consistent. AI can help you build a protocol that's actually personalized, matched to your specific goals, your chronotype, your existing practice, and your honest assessment of what you're actually trying to accomplish. Personal sound protocol prompt. I want to build a sound-based wellness practice into my daily routine. Here's my situation. Describe your sleep quality, stress patterns, meditation experience, if any, and what you're trying to shift: focus, anxiety, sleep, creativity. Based on what's actually research-supported about sound and the nervous system, Design a simple weekly protocol, specific times, types of sound or frequency ranges, and duration that fits my real life rather than an ideal one. Sound selection prompt. I'm trying to use sound intentionally for specific goal, deep focus work, meditation, sleep onset, emotional processing. Walk me through the difference between binaural beats, isochronic tones, singing bowl recordings, and nature soundscapes for this specific purpose. What does the research support for each, and which would you suggest I try first given what I've told you? Frequency claim checker prompt. I keep seeing this claim about specific frequency or sound healing modality. Paste the claim. Help me understand what the actual research says about this. Not the wellness marketing version, but what peer-reviewed studies have actually found, how strong the evidence is, and whether the practical recommendation holds up even if the specific claim is overstated. Where I land after going deep on this. I came into this research skeptical, and I'm leaving it a genuine believer in the practice, with a more nuanced view of the specific claims. Sound affects the body. Ancient cultures knew this and built entire healing systems around it, largely through observation across generations rather than controlled trials. Modern neuroscience is now explaining the mechanisms. The specific Hertz numbers are often overclaimed. The experience they produce is real. The practice is worth taking seriously, regardless of whether every number attached to it survives scientific scrutiny. In the same way that meditation was just relaxation to skeptics for decades before the research caught up with what practitioners already knew. What I've added to my own practice: 30 minutes of singing bowl recordings in the evening before I wind down, chosen not for their advertised frequency properties, but because the sound environment they create is the single most effective transition I've found between the work part of my day and the rest part of it. That's enough for me, and I suspect it will be enough for you. Worth saying plainly, sound healing is a complement to medical care, not a substitute. If you're dealing with significant anxiety, depression, chronic pain, or any other medical condition, please work with qualified healthcare providers. These practices can support that work. They shouldn't replace it.